Okay, good vach rabosei. Today's daf is Yuma daf Chof. Obviously, still a very difficult few days with what happened on Lag BaOmer. As we speak, my wife is at a levaya for a 13-year-old boy who was killed in Meiron. So it's not an easy time. But what does Am Yisrael do? We daven and we learn. And in that vein, this limud should be b'schus the people who were killed, and b'schus refuah shleima. For the people who are still injured and still need refuah shleima. So we're here on Yud Tes Mem Beis at the Mishnah, and again we've been talking about right the procedure the Kohen Gadol does up until the Avodah and Yom Kippur, and again we're here right now, we're dealing with Leil Yom Kippur. You can hear probably in the background they're announcing still Levayas that are happening tonight, so I apologize for any noise interference, but there's still all these Ramkols that they call it, right, the Ramkol going around. So we're Friday here on Leil Yom Kippur, right? So the Mishnah says that Bikesh this Namnim, if the Kohen Gadol was falling asleep, right? We mentioned, if you remember, that we don't want him to sleep because he may end up with a Tumas Keri, he might have some sort of emission that would make him tummy, he wouldn't be able to do any of the Avodas. So Bikesh this Namnim, if he was falling asleep, so Pirchei Kuhuna, the young Kohanim, right? Prachim, right? There's a lashon of flowers, right? We call the young, we call the kindergartens here a gan, because the flowers grow, right? People grow, right? Obviously, very difficult imagery in the light of the funeral that's happening right now. But the Pirchei Kehuna, the young Kohanim, Mechin Lefanov Be'etzbet Tzrada, they would snap their Tzrada finger. We'll discuss exactly what that means. V'omrim lo Ishi Kohen Gadol, they'd say, Mr. Kohen Gadol, Amod, stand up, V'hafeg, and Achas Ala Ritzpah, right? And Rashi says, V'hafeg is Lashon, kind of like get rid of your sleep, right? Making sure you stay awake. Right? He said, if you look at Rashi, Vafeg Tayel, Vafeg Shina Meinecha, right? Take a walk, right? To make sure you don't fall asleep, to get rid of the sleep from your eyes. So we said, Ala Ritzpah, right? Stand on the floor. Again, Ala Ritzpah, why are we standing on the floor? Obviously, standing on the floor. So the point is that the Kohanim walked barefoot, and the floor was stone. So in the stomach, towards September, October time, it's probably pretty chilly on the floor. So that was the idea, right? Stand up, put your feet on the floor. You get a bit of a cold shock. You know, take a walk. Make sure you don't fall asleep. Then they would keep him busy until it was time for him to do the avoda to start the procedures. So the Gemara says, "My tzrada, what is this language of tzrada for the fingers?" So which finger was that? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda tzrata deda. It means the opposite. Tzara is literally means a rival. Or like someone who is, right, again, if you have two wives and one of them is Isha's Tzara, right, I guess, or the rival wife of someone else, that's phrased, found in Chazal. So Tzara Tadida, it's the one that is the rival of this. So the Gemara says, Maihi, what does that mean? It says Godel. So it's the thumb, meaning the one that is opposite this one, meaning one that is, so apparently, meaning seemingly, it could be that that's the thumb and the pointer finger, and the index finger, meaning the thumb is the one that we're comparing it to. So it's the one opposite the thumb. So is that when you stick your hand out and you open your hands, it seems like the index finger is the one that's across from it. On the other hand, you know, I'm trying to make a noise with my index finger and my thumb, and it's not making much of a noise. If I take my middle finger, that already makes a big noise. If I'm not mistaken, some of the Rishonim seem to say that it's the middle finger and not the pointer. But okay, fine. Either way, right? Because if you look at Rashi, right, it would make a big noise and it would wake him up. Right? So I'd imagine, right, okay, whatever. Either way, that's what it seems. That's what they would do. They would snap at him and basically and wake him up. And Rav Huna kind of showed everybody what they would do, and he made a noise that would, you know, go throughout the entire base medrash. So apparently, right, again, he would snap loudly, and that would wake him up. Okay, fine. Right, stand up, right, fall asleep. What do they mean? Al chadas, meaning show us chadas, something chad, something singular, something unique. Mahi, what was that? I'm relay achave kida. Show us how to do kida. Kida is one of the ways that they demonstrate that one of the ways of bowing down that Chazal kind of talk of. Different ways to bow down with your face on the floor, and there's just bending at the waist, or there's a prostration, right, full stretching out yadayim v'raglayim. How do you find all different types of bowing down, let's say, on Yom Kippur, right? We do a modim, we bow at the at the waist on Yom Kippur, right? Obviously, we bow down a bunch of times, stretching our hands and feet out. So Kiddo was a kind of a strange way of bowing down. Now, the picture books, if you look at the picture books, there's a picture book that just came out there, sending around in Harnof. So it looks like the guy is doing basically a push-up on his thumbs. And if you look at Rashi, it's not exactly clear that that's what it is. If you look at Rashi, no, it's Godlov Ba'aretz, Veshocha, right? If he sticks his thumbs in the ground and he bows down, Venoshikes Aritzpah, and he kisses the floor, Ve'omen, and he stands up. So that seems to imply that he's kind of bending, like, at the waist, right? And almost, like, bending, you know, keeping his legs straight, or maybe bending his knees as well. I'm not sure. Right? It could be, and again, the people making these picture books, maybe they know a little bit better than I do, but it sounds from Rashi that he's kind of like bowing down and almost like touch your toes type thing, and get your feet all the way down. I guess maybe he would bend his knees and get your lips all the way down and kiss the floor and push back up with your thumbs. Okay, either way, there's some kind of strange form of bowing down, and right, and that was obviously a very difficult, as you might imagine, even if it's getting down all the way on your hands and knees and doing that type of bowing. So it's also tough to do a push-up on your thumbs, I would imagine. So that's what he would do. Okay. Mumasikeno so achiagiaz manchita. They keep him busy until the time of shchita. Tana with under brisa. Lo amasikeno solo benevol v'chinor el v'peh. They wouldn't play music with him, right? They wouldn't use that. That's not. But they el v'peh. But they would be talking to him, right? They would be singing. Right, okay, they would, you know, they would make sure that he would stay awake. What would they say? Im Hashem lo yivin avnayis shav amlu bonav bo. I mean, if Hashem did not build a Beis HaMikdash, right? Again, why would people? I mean, all this stuff is Hakadosh Baruch Hu not building his own house, right? I mean, what's the point if Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not quote unquote in his house? Meaning, all this avodah is for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's glory. Think about a Kosh Baruch Hu here. Not that you know that we're not doing the stump, right? Miyakire Yishalayim Lo Hayishenim Kol Alayla, and the Yakir, the deer people of Yishalayim Lo Hayishenim Kol Alayla, they wouldn't sleep all night. Kadesh Yishma Kohen Gadol Kol Avaro, so the Kohen Gadol could hear them, right? Could hear people talking, right? In Yishalayim Lo Tehishina Chutafto, so then people, and he wouldn't fall asleep. Meaning they tried to stay up all night, I guess, learning in Torah or whatever. So he would hear a commotion, right? It wouldn't be, and obviously if it's very, very quiet, easier to fall asleep. If there's a big commotion going on, harder for the Kohen Gadol to fall asleep. Tanya Abashal Omar Abashal said, Af Begvulin Hayosin Kain Zeich HaMikdash, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they used to do this. Elash HaYuchotin. Problem is that would lead to sin. If you look at Rashi, Misachim Anashim V'Nashim Yachad Bo'en Le'Aveira, right? They would have big social events, and that would be problematic. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, V'Tim Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, or Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Targum HaNaharda. He says that was actually the custom in Naharda. Amar Le'e Eliyahu L'Rav Yehuda, because Eliyahu Novi said to Rav Yehuda, Achva Rav Sala, Chasida, right? The brother of Rav Sala Chasida. So Amriso, so he said to him, Amai Lo Asi Mashiach. Meaning, Amriso, meaning, no, sorry, meaning Rav Yehuda said to Eliyahu Navi, you always say, why is Mashiach not come? When he's telling you, well, now, today, is Yom HaKippurahu, it's Yom Kippur. Ve'evo kama b'sula sov in Harada. And some virgins are being slept with in Harada. Meaning, I'll tell you why Mashiach's not coming, because Am Yisrael is sinning in this terrible manner on Yom Kippur. So he said back to him, what's it called? That was Eliyahu Hanavi said to Rav Yehuda. Meaning Rav Yehuda always said, oh, hey, why is Mashiach not here? So Eliyahu was like, listen, this is happening. So Amar Lei, so Akash Baruch Hu Mayamar, what is Hashem saying? Meaning that was Rav Yehuda said to Eliyahu. What is Hashem saying about this? So Amar Lei, Eliyahu said back to him, Afetach Chatas Roveitz. So he's quoting a pasuk in Bereishis that when Akash Baruch Hu was talking to Cain, That literally means that sin rests at the door. It's the title of a wonderful sefer on Chumash by Rabbi Foreman. Meaning, so he's basically what that means is that Kosh Baruch Hu was saying, listen, I understand, but the Yitzhahara sometimes gets a person. I mean, Kosh Baruch Hu understands better than all of us that we all have Yitzhaharas and sometimes we sin. So it was almost like Kosh Baruch Hu was trying to find a limud zchus for Am Yisrael. Right, look at Rashi. Yitzhahara machtio bal korcho. The Jews are being led astray by the Yitzhahara. So v'satan mayamar. So then Rabbi Yehuda asked Eliyahu Hanavi, "What did the satan say?" So I'm like, "Satan v'yom de kippur leis leirushuzah." I said, "The satan has no power here. right? He has no power to persecute and prosecute Am Yisrael. But on Yom Kippur, the Satan doesn't have anything to say back. So Kosh Baruch Hu, if he's Malamit Zchus, so Kosh Baruch Hu is Malamit Zchus. He doesn't have anybody arguing against that. Amar Rabbi Chami, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hasatan Begematria Tlos Mea Veshisin Ve'arba. How do you know the Satan doesn't operate on Yom Kippur? Because Satan Has Satan in Gematria is 364. It's Avi Tlos Mea Veshisin Ve'arba Yomi Isle Rishus of Last Dune. He has 364 days of the year where the Satan is allowed to kind of, you know, do what he's got to do. But by Yom Kippur, let's say Rishus Alas Tunei. But the Sultan does not operate on Yom Kippur. Right? One day a year, the Sultan has nothing to say, and that's what Eliyahu Hanavi said back to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, says the Mishnah. B'chol Yom Tormen Asamiz Hamizbeach. Every single day, they would take some of the ashes on the Mizbeach and put it next to the Mizbeach. Something called the Trumas Hadeshen, right? Verimis Hadeshen, right? What is that pasuk over here? Is that right? No. Where is that? Yeah, it's the third source on the daf. You're looking at the Torah. Or veherimis hadeshen asher tuchal ha'is shalah es ha'olah al mizbeach v'samo et al mizbeach. Trumas hadeshen, they would take some of the ash and put it next to the mizbeach. So every day, the kriyas hagever osamacho. They would do that at the time when the gever called out, and that's the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis. That was either a person or a male rooster, right? When the rooster crows. Or cries, well, no, I guess crows. But either way, that basically at sunrise, right? Basically every single day, that's when they would do the Trumas Hadeshen. This little kind of clearing off. They didn't clear all of the ashes. They would just take some of the ashes and put it next to the Mizbeach. They did clear the ashes once in a while, but that's not every single day. Fine. So, Bein Lefan of Bein Laachar, sorry, I skipped a little bit, I should have read it a little bit better. B'chol Yom Tormen HaMizbeach, B'kriz HaGever O Samachlo, Bein Lefan of Bein Laachar, right? Whether it was a little bit, a few minutes before sunrise, a few minutes after sunrise, a little bit before the rooster, a little bit after the rooster, or the person who would announce things in the Beis HaMikdash, fine. B'yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur Mechatzos, they would do this Trumas Hadeshen at night, at midnight, rather, over a Golim, and on the holidays, Me'ashmura HaRishona, they would do it at the first third of the night. The night is divided into, as a machlokes, but let's say into thirds. So the first Ashmura literally means a watch, but after the first third of the night, meaning even earlier than midnight, they would do this. And the Mishnah explains that at sunrise, all of Am Yisrael had packed in on the Yontif to bring korbanos right after the korban tamid. So already by that time, right, it's reason why demon people came early. Already by sunrise, the azara was packed. So we'll see the Gemara will discuss. Actually, in the Chogos Rishonim, in terms of what the problem was, but let's say since they had a lot to do that day. Let's just say they backed up the Trumas Hadeshen even earlier. Okay, let's say the Gemara. The Gemara says Tanan Hasan we learned in a Mishnah, and the reason we're going to bring this is we're going to bring a Kasha from our Mishnah. But the Mishnah says the Mishnah. Let's see here in Zvachim, Ivarim Shapaku Me'agabe Hamizbeach. If you have any limbs that kind of literally paku means they burst or they exploded, but if they fell off the Mizbeach, kodem chasos yachzir amolin bahen, la'achar chasos lo yachzir ve'im molin bahen. Before midnight, you put them back on the Mizbeach, and they're subject to Me'ilah. After midnight, you leave them, and they are not, or you can take them away, but you don't have to put them back on the Mizbeach, and there's no Me'ilah. What's going on over here? So basically, every night, there's something that, not an offering, but basically, what they would do is they would burn any leftover fats or whatever from the korbanos, right? We know the korbanos, the ikar korban, as we've been learning, is the zrikas hadam, is the blood. Right? There are some parts of the korban that go on the mizbeach. Some of the fats, some of the innards are burned on the mizbeach. That is not crucial to the avoda service, and that can be done at night. So they had a lot of fats burning overnight. The question is, let's say, again, there's a big fire there, so sometimes flesh will pop and explode and move off of the Mizbeach. So the question is, what's the status of that meat, that those insides, whatever they were offering, depending on the korban, if it falls off the Mizbeach. So before midnight, they would put it back on the Mizbeach and mo'el b'hen, meaning it still has Kedusha, and therefore if someone would benefit from it, they would violate the Isra of Me'ila, of benefiting from Hekdesh. But after Chatzos, so then already it was no longer you didn't have to put it back in the Mizbeach, and it was no longer Kodesh. The Gemara says, Minan Emili, how do you know? Where do you know that from? Amar Rav, because Rav says, Pasuk says, because of Echad Omer Kol HaLayla V'Yiktir, because of Echad Omer Kol HaLayla V'Heirim. So now, the Pasuk is not exactly, Rashi points out already, that there are no psukim that say that exactly, but basically we have a stira. Basically, the Pasuk says that you should burn it all night, and all night you should take off some of the ashes, meaning, does it have to burn all night, or do you have to take off the ashes all night? Meaning that already something that has been burned already, can you take off? So Gemara says, "How does that work?" So half the night you burn the fats and whatever it is, and half of it you take out off the ashes, and therefore you split it. Right before midnight, you have to leave the fats burning, and after midnight, that's already has the fats that have been burned have the status of ash. And then you take it off. So now, Masi, Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asks from our Mishnah. One second. Every day they would do the Trumas HaDeshen next to, right, at sunrise, right, or a little bit, or thereabouts. Right, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur Mechatzos. Right, on again, it's basically a straight quote from our Mishnah on Yom Kippur. They do it at midnight. V'regalem Yashmur HaRishona. And on the Yontif, and on the holidays, they do it from the first third, the first watch of the night. Right? So, and if you're telling me you're quoting a pasuk, right, and therefore it has to be done at midnight, so how do you adjust the time of the Trumas HaDeshen? If you're telling me that literally up until midnight it has the status of fat, and then afterwards it has the status of ash, and that's the time when you do the Trumas HaDeshen, so what are you talking about? Right? How could you move it around like that? I don't know. How could you? If the Torah makes that delineation, so what are we playing with the times over here? It seems like it's the Rabbanan thing. So Allah, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, you're right. Let's take a different pasuk." Mashmish shenemar kol alayla ini yudesh you ad aboker. Okay, the pasuk says, "Right, kol alayla ad aboker." If you're telling me something is being burned, the fats are being burned all night, why did you tell me until morning? So the Gemara says, "Tain boker levakro shalayla." Labokro shalayla, meaning give me a boker, give me a morning to the morning of the night. Meaning, give me give me a designated time, but an earlier time of day, right, earlier than the morning. Meaning, give me a morning for the morning. Meaning, like, what's the morning? The morning is the first part of the time. So if the morning is the time when, in general, it's done, give me another morning. Give me another timestamp when you can do it earlier. Hilkach, therefore, b'chol yom torment as hamizbeach, so therefore, meaning that's every day you do it at sunrise. Meaning on a regular day, it's enough to do it at sunrise. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is weaker because he's fasting, so do it at midnight. Right, prep him, give him a chance to relax. Right? Don't do it right before all the other avodas. Do it a little bit earlier so he can kind of get off his feet and not be so taxed. Regalim, but on the holidays, the Nefishi Yisrael, Nefishi Korbanos, when you have so many Korbanos on the Regalim, right, everybody's bringing these Korbanos, then you bring it even earlier, from the first, right, for the one-third into the night, to give the Gatani, like with the Rebbeza, time alo haisa, kriyas agever, magaz, atcha haisa azara, malaya mi Yisrael. The reason they would back up the Trumas HaDeshen is because by sunrise, the whole azara, the whole courtyard, would be filled with Jews. All right, and there was a ton of korbanos and a ton of ash. So again, we wanted to make sure that they had time to do it, right? To make sure that things would work out. Again, as I pointed out, the things that Ms. Machlokas Rashi over here says that it's they would need to bring a lot of wood, and they need to kind of clear the ash. There was a ton of ashes, so basically just to make sure everything got cleaned up, that they needed to make sure that was done earlier, then they could do the other things they needed to do. I think one of the other Rishonim says that no, since it was so busy and full in the court, in the Beis HaMikdash, so it was just a logistical issue. You couldn't get around, you couldn't get close, perhaps, not to the Mizbeach, because Yisrael weren't allowed that close, but maybe there was an overflow of Kohanim, and whatever, they had to do it earlier. Okay, before it got busy. Fine. My kriya is a gever. What does it mean? Right, the call of the gever. Gever literally means the male. So what does that mean? So Amar, two opinions, as we mentioned. Amar Rav, Rav Amar Kara Gavra, right, the call of a person, and Rabbi Shila Amar Kara Tarnagola, the call of the rooster. And again, it's referring to the morning, but who are we talking about? Who's calling out over here? Rav Ikla the Asra of the Rabbi, story time. Rav came to the Rabbi Shila. The Rav came to Rabbi Shila's neighborhood, and as we'll see, for whatever reason, people didn't realize it was him. Right? Rashi says, "V'lo hayu makirno." So for whatever reason, they didn't recognize him. Lo hava amora lemekam aleh the Rabbi Shila. Rabbi Shila got up to darshan, and there was nobody to kind of announce the shir for him. Right? They used to be, if you remember, they used to have a maturgamon. They used to have what here is called an amora. They used to have a speaker. Right? The Rav would speak. And then the speaker, or the person in charge of speaking to the crowd, would kind of translate, right, into Aramaic, or maybe they had a louder voice, or whatever. Okay, so come Rav, Alev, come a Farish. So, sure enough, just like, you know, if you got nobody in the lane, so somebody gets up and does it. So Rav got up and do it, and I'll do it, no problem. So my Kriya Zagever, so come a Farish, he was explaining, my Kriya Zagever, Kra Gavra. So again, Rav Shila must have mentioned this phrase, Kriya Zagever, the call of the Gever, and Rav said, It's the Kra Gavra, it's the call of a person, right? Then, as we'll see, there were people who announced things in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're talking about. So I'm going to Rav Shila said to Rav, Lema Mar Kra Tarnagola. Rav said, no, you should say, right, it's the call of a rooster, the call of a rooster. So I'm Rale. So Rav said back to him, Avuv Lachari Zemer Lagardi Lo Mekablu Amine. Right? A flute that's played by princes is not good for weavers, meaning, I've explained that by people who are greater than you, and they accepted my interpretation, but apparently it's not good for you, not good enough for you. And Rav continued, right, when I was speaking, doing the announcing of the speech for Rabbi Chia, and I explained, what does it mean, Kriyas Gever? It means the speech, the call of a person, he didn't say anything to me. And you're telling me that I should say it's the call of a chicken, of a rooster? So at that point, apparently Rabbi Chia's speaker was famous. Right? Apparently, once Rav said he was Rabbi Chia's speaker, or Amora, or Maturgamon, so then I was like, oh man, it's Rav here. And Rav was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham in his own right. So Marlei, Marnihu Rav Ninachmar. So he said, oh my gosh, you're Rav. Marnihu Rav, you're Rav. Ninachmar, sit down. What are you talking about? What are you doing? Why are you doing the announcing for my shir? Have a seat. That's ridiculous. Rav apparently was greater than Rabbi Shila. So Rav said back to him, no. Amrei Inshi, people say, Itagris leputz Amrei. People say, if you hire, Tagris means if you are paying someone a wage, meaning if so, you hired somebody, so putz Amrei literally means let him comb your wool, meaning let him do even menial labors. If someone said, you hired yourself out for the day, you can do whatever you want with him, meaning I'm here. So I stepped up, I offered, I know what I was getting into, right? This is the job, and I'll do it. Some people say, this is what Rav said to him. Now we go up in holiness and not down. Meaning, what would happen if Rav stepped down? Obviously, they would have a Maturgamon and a Ramora who is less shayach and less worthy than Rav. So, we're not going to go down in stature. Yes, Rav probably was, he was doing this even though it was not befitting a man of his stature. On the other hand, if you replace him with someone less, qualified, so then it would also be designed to the shir as well. So Rav just continued. He said, "Listen, now that I'm up here, I'm going to stay." Now we had said that again, it's a machlokas what you should say, right? Either it's a Rav Shila says it's a chicken, and Rav says it's a person, and Rav Chia apparently supported Rav. So, but you have prices both ways. Tani kavasi the Rav and Tani kavasi the Rabbi Shila. You have a machlokas, right? Usually have a machlokas in the Gemara. You don't usually then have an interaction between those two personalities. Right? Sometimes you do, here we quote two shitas, and then all of a sudden we have a story about them, how we know they have a machlokas, because they interacted, right? And Rav kind of surprised Rav Shila and said, hey, listen, this is what I said in front of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia supported me, and Rav Shila said, oh, wow, oh my gosh, I didn't realize you were here. Okay, fine. But either way, again, Rabbi Shila didn't, you don't see that Rabbi Shila retracted his opinion, and certainly over here, because we have Tani Kavasi Derav, Tani Kavasi Derav Shila, we have brises that support both of them. Tani Kavasi Derav, we have a brisa that supports Rav. Gvini Cruz Ma'o Omer. What did Gvini, that's a person, Cruz, he was an announcer, the person who, Lachriz is to announce in Hebrew. So he was the announcer. Ma'o Omer, what would he say? Again, in the Beis HaMikdash. He was the announcer in the Beis HaMikdash. get on the loudspeaker. What would he say? Right, Ma'o Omer. Amdu Kohanim Lavodaschem. Let the Kohanim get up to do their avoda. Veleviim leduchanchem, and let the Leviim go duchen and sing. Veyishalem ma'amadchem, and let the Israelim just stand there, right, for the ma'amad to stand there. There were Jews. There were just regular Israelim. The Beis Hamikdash representing Am Yisrael. Vayakolu nishma b'shlosh parsos, and his voice would be heard for three parsos, which is really far, which is like 4 mil. A parsa is 4 mil, so that's 12 mil. That's a mil is like, let's say, is like a little bit more than half a mile. So it was a pretty solid distance. Ma'aseh b'Agripas HaMelech, and there was a story about Agripas HaMelech, Shaya Baba Derech, right? He was traveling with Shamakolo b'Gimel Parsos, and sure enough, he heard the voice of Givini three parsas away. And when he got home, right, he sent them gifts because I guess he appreciated how loud his voice was, that he could be, you know, that the king could be aware of what was going on. And even though that Gavini's voice was that strong, the Kohen Gadol apparently was more praiseworthy than him. As Mar said, for Amar Ana Hashem, when the Kohen Gadol said Ana Hashem, right, Ana Hashem, the dramatic things we say, right, the dramatic tefillah on Yom Kippur. So when the Kohen Gadol said Ana Hashem, so that was apparently really, really loud. Right, Vinishma Kolo B'Yericho, you could hear his voice in Yericho. Yud Parsi. Right, not only is it you could hear three Parsi, it was 10 Parsis away. So that's really far. Right, and even though that the Kohen Gadol Mestama was weakened by his fasting, and by Gvini, right, he was not weakened. Right, he was presumably he was eating fine. And also that was during the day, and Gvini started at night. Right, again before all the avodah and Beis Hamikdash, Gvini started announcing things before sunrise. Kohen Gadol, when he does the Ana Hashem, all that avodah, that's during the day. And Gvini explains, and Rabbi Levi explains that why is a person's voice louder during the day as it is at night? Apparently, because of the sun, the ball of the sun, which cuts through the sky like a saw that is chopping through wood. Okay, fascinating. And that's what this chirga v'yoma literally means, the dust of the day. But again, if you can imagine sawdust, right? Again, what happens when the sun shines through a window, right? You can see like little dust particles. That's, I think, that's what the Gemara is referring to, right? It literally means sawdust. Right? If you give me the image of a saw cutting through wood, right? So you're left with sawdust, right? When the sun spring kind of shines through the clouds, through the windows, right? That's the imagery that we're using. Finally, the Gamar Nebuchadnezzar, and this is what Nebuchadnezzar says, right? All the people on the earth are like nothing. They're like sawdust. They're like nothing. So that, again, but that's a brisa that supports Rav, that the person, again, that he was doing the announcing, that's the krug ever that we're referring to. Just one quick thing, and then we'll stop here. If you look at Tosos, fascinating that if you look at Tosos, it's on Chafal Vamad Aleph, not here, but it says, Tema, if you look at the first Tosos on Chafal Vamad Aleph, Tosos Vahaya, the Perek Shlishi the Talmud, in the third Perek of Gemara Talmud, Tami Yericho HaYishomim Kol Gvini, that actually, not only could Gvini go three parsas, but you could also, there's another Gemara that says, you could hear the voice of Gvini in Yericho, right? Just like you could hear the Kohen Gadol in Yericho, which is 10 parsas. So he says, as Tosa says, it could be that no, they could hear like the whispers of Gvini's voice, but the Kohen Gadol, they could hear as if he was actually speaking, they could actually hear his words. Agav, how does that work, by the way? So, just one more explanation. I was in, I once went to Ir David, I think I'm going tomorrow up the Netherlands, to Ir David, and if you stand at a certain area, Ir David, as it is now, is situated by like almost the entrance to the valley. And if you, there's a Beis HaMikdash, and then there's like where David built his palace. So then it goes down into the valley, and that basically extends towards the Yericho. So I had once, the tour guide is fascinating. He screamed, Yechi HaMelech Shlomo. And he was trying to illustrate something that happened in the Navi. But basically, you could hear it reverberate across the valley as if, you know, he had literally just turned a loudspeaker on. It was fascinating. So if you're wondering how far, I don't know if it was necessarily some sort of nace that you could hear the Kohen Gadol and Gvini's announcements. It could very well be that the way it was situated and the way things were built, right? He had this reverberation through the valley. If he really had a loud voice, so it could be that it really did travel that whole way down to Tzuricha. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll go weiter. Hail Yishas tomorrow. Besoros Tovos. And have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.